sadly start recording. It's going to kind of catch me generally, not so much specifically here. If we're in luck, it'll die anyway. Always my deepest hope with almost all recordings is that they die. I guess shutting the door was a great way to bring the rest of you guys in. Pardon me. All right. Well, maybe we'll try again. Alrighty. Well, let's begin with prayer this time. Let's all bow our heads. Father in heaven, thanks so much for this chance to be in a classroom where we can all share and think and talk and actually just ask for your light to be shed on us. And God, help us to reflect your light, not to be afraid of it, but to absorb the warmth of your light and to respond by showing others your light in your name. Amen. All right. So I see we have at least one board member here. David, are you a board member by any chance? Not you. Are you? Okay. We've got two against the rest of us. You've probably all read the book, Two Against the North. This is going to be similar to that. Okay, anyone else a board member besides these two guys? Just you two guys. I mean, no Wesley. He can't hide it. Anybody that old, crouched at the desk, has got to be a wolf in sheep's clothing. All right. So as a teacher, I asked this yesterday about relating with parents, but how many of you just love to relate with the board? Okay. And what's your name back there?
Austin.
Good. You are obviously very weird, Austin. Anyone else? That's your favorite part of the job description? You do. Good. A few more weird ones. Good. How about you, Ben? You enjoy... You're one of your favorite things on the job, relating with the board. Okay. Good. Well... Yeah, well, maybe some of us are just born different. I don't know. I don't necessarily just love every moment of being with the board. Maybe it's because I have a weird board, and I hope they're listening. But they don't always do what I ask, and it becomes very frustrating. All right. Here's the concept. Not Aaron again! You know, I thought of it. Yesterday he answered so many questions incorrectly that this morning I thought he's a fast shooter, but not necessarily a sharp shooter.
Right.
Well, keep coming in, everybody, and welcome. Now, if we ever get the room quiet again, we'll read a verse that helps you in dealing with board members, all right? This is 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace, what? Is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in
weakness.
Oh my. Well, good. Some of you should know it better than others. But actually, we are all very weak, aren't we? And the things that we think are so good are not always the best. All right? And so that's where it's like this. This is your relationship with the board. Okay, this is you, and this is the board. Anyone want to tell me what that is real quickly?
Fulcrum.
It's a fulcrum, or a seesaw, or a teeter-totter, whatever you want to say. But this thing not moving around is called balance, isn't it? That's what the two do. Okay. So, with that in mind, find my notes. I was in a deep conversation with a very good friend, and so on. So, I'm not going to blame anybody here. But
I was slow
getting my stuff around like I should have. It's relating with the board is not my favorite part. Okay, it's partly it's these two things. It can be, well, would you mind telling me why I might not enjoy relating with the board? Always on a, I mean, just, board meetings are not something I just, yes. Tonight for the board meeting.
They take forever.
Okay. That's, we'll say they're expensive.
They only talk to you when there's a problem.
Ah. Do I recognize one of my foes back there? Problem talkers. That's definitely someone we're familiar with here in this class. Okay, I'm going to put some of my own feelings up there. Intimidating. Not sure if that's quite right. Intimidating. Well, that doesn't look quite right. It's supposed to be an I. At least it's not. Here's sometimes what it is. It should be relaxing, pleasant. Yeah. When that's happening, that's good, isn't it? All of you can relate with that probably at one time or another. Why do you think, I'm going to pick on this word right here, one that I couldn't spell. Why does it sometimes feel intimidating to relate with the board as a teacher? Do you mind opening up your soul, telling me a little bit why?
Because they could fire you.
Oh my. Yeah. Thank you. We'll get fired. If only sometimes. Sometimes they don't know when to give you the kick you need. Why else might it be intimidating?
Well, they're often older.
Okay.
From my perspective.
Old people? You don't feel the same when you go in the nursing home, I'm assuming. Oh my, we can barely even sing. These old people are just scattered around, scaring me in their wheelchair. Okay. Hey, here's one that isn't so old. You want to sit with Mom? Good. Glad you're here, Brandon. Why else might you be intimidated?
They have a lot of wisdom.
Okay, they're the bosses, aren't they? Okay, I'm going to change it a little bit and say, again, some of the reasons why I'm intimidated sometimes by the board. And it's because they scrutinize me. They analyze me. They judge me. And that's kind of intimidating sometimes, isn't it? Do you always hold up under the close scrutiny or analysis that people give you? So sometimes this is the word that I feel inadequate. Anyone ever feel that word? Yeah, we're all there, aren't we? Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that only teachers feel that. Believe it or not, some of these guys that are scrutinizing you and analyzing you, they feel that way too in their own jobs, whatever. Now, here's just kind of a relationship that happens with teachers and board. One of the reasons that I am so aware of that is because I do it all day, every day, don't you? As a teacher, are you not constantly scrutinizing someone's work and saying, listen, you could do better than that? I analyze someone's spirit and say, you better stand for recess, you and I need to have a little chat. And then I judge, too. Say, listen, you still have a terrible attitude. I hate to do this, but you're going to have to write some sentences, or maybe I don't hate to do it. Maybe I'm glad to do it. Bring some pain into some other miserable life. This is what we do, isn't it? And so we feel very self-conscious when those same emotions are turned back against you. Wouldn't you say, as a teacher, would you agree with what I'm saying here? Of course we would. Now, here's the thing about all these people, I mean, all this, is it's all partly true. These guys are all analyzing you and judging you, and they see you as inadequate. They'd be blind not to. No teacher is perfect, and no board member is perfect either. So, here's something I'd like you to write down. Relationships revolve around what? We discussed this yesterday. Yes, relationships revolve around communication. Okay, so we're going to do a little illustration up here. We're going to put this, this is kind of the sun, okay, communication. And we did a few of these things yesterday where we talked about different kinds of communication, how to communicate. Communicating with parents, adults, whatever, people that aren't teachers, it's all kind of the same in some ways, whether it's your customers or whatever it may be. But let's think of some very quick planets, or whatever you want to say, that revolve around communication. What kind of communication? I'll give you some, and if you see one that you want to say, you say it. Okay, I have honesty, and I'm going to make sure I pick some that I didn't say yesterday. Humility. What is that one? That is, oh, no, that's not right. Well, I'll leave that one. Good. Well, truthfully, I have clarity written down very clearly, but that's about the only one that I can see. This one is not quite what I expected, but anyway, here's one. Fearlessness. And I'm going to put one over here. I wish I had that other name there, because I can't really think up here what it might be. And I'm going to erase that planet, because that's just a symbol of my failure. And we don't want that up there. Okay. Well, look at this one. The board has to come and talk to you occasionally, don't they? And say, you know what, brother, I hate to say this, but you've got problems. And you are the problem. If you ever have a text that comes in and says, I'd like to meet with you at the school. Is that, actually I get kind of a little buzz on my back just thinking about, I don't like those kind of texts. And they unsettle me instantly. The coffee that I'm drinking, the pie I'm eating, and I love both of those things, don't taste so good anymore. They go down, they kind of clank all the way down. It doesn't feel good. Oh, I don't like those things. So, here's what happens sometimes. The boss or the board members need to speak fearlessly, honestly, and fairly with you. Right? Yeah, they do. And you need to accept it with humility. With honesty, self-analysis. One of the worst things you can have as a teacher is self-deception, where you deceive yourself into thinking you're a great teacher when you aren't. It's a problem in your whole life. Don't try to deceive yourself, okay? Worst kind of deception is self-deception. Now, occasionally, you need to talk to the board, don't you? Well, you should. If you're avoiding the board all the time, you've got a problem. And you should say, sometimes you'd be very clear that we have a problem, and maybe, believe it or not, the board is a problem. I'm going to give you a little intimate example. First of all, I'm going to tell a story that will illustrate this point, okay? Board and teachers are human, all right? We both have needs and the things that happen, and sometimes the board doesn't quite understand the teacher's need. Okay? I'm going to give a little story to illustrate my point. All right? An old Reader's Digest that my father told me about, so we know it's true. Reader's Digest. We're going to assume this is a true story. Okay? It's an old one. And this man grew up in New York City, a little boy, and he loved cats. Okay? And he trained these alley cats. Any of you ever teach a cat anything? No, you can't, actually, as far as I'm concerned. He trained these little alley cats to be like lions, where they would sit on buckets and whatever, and you put on these shows. Obviously, a gifted individual with cats, wouldn't you say? So he went to the circus eventually. They needed guys like him, and he trained lions. And he told a story out of his lion tamer days, and there was a lion that this leopard or some other much smaller cat had a little problem with this lion. In fact, he liked to goad it. When the lion would go back, give the signal, the lions would go back to their wherever they were supposed to go, this leopard would just scratch this lion as he went by. Over and over and over. Okay? Irritated that big lion. Now, a lion is a unique cat in that it has tremendous strength. It's different than a tiger, that when a tiger is very strong too. But a lion will kill things with what we would call a haymaker, all right? Where it's a big swing that just has tremendous strength. A tiger is much more this little fast movement, all right? So a lion was getting irritated more and more and more till it was almost more than he could take. When the lion returned and the leopard scratched him, the lion was ready one time, and he literally took the leopard's head off with a swing. All right? This is where Reader's Digest is probably playing with the facts slightly. Whatever it was, the leopard was dead. All right? Oh, it's funny. I know. Take out of this. The leopard didn't think it was funny, but what I want to say here is that, board members, you need to listen to your teachers, all right? If they're asking you something, and you say no, 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 it becomes like a scratch sometimes when it is something important, and suddenly it's the last scratch, just like that. And you have to be looking for a new teacher, just like that. And I would like to say this little, I'm going to give a little example here. You see this cup? You can barely read it, partly because it's writing is not that good. Do we have a trash can in here? Thank you. Okay. This says teacher one, teacher two, teacher three. Teachers are not paper cups. All right? Now, I know that we all believe that. We fall against these two guys, and they're, like I said, they're wolves in sheep's clothing here. They're the board members. They need to learn that. But listen, don't think of yourself as a paper cup either. All right? You are not a disposable item. All right? Nobody is indispensable, but that's different than being disposable. So, you value yourself. I promise you, if you come to a board meeting and you're just, I just don't know, I failed at math, I failed at English, and whatever. If you're apologetic in your teaching, your board isn't going to trust you, for one thing, and neither will your students. Your board, your parents, your students, they all need to know that you're competent. They're going to rejoice in that. They're not threatened by your competence. I said that yesterday, I'll say it again. Sometimes, in our words that we're putting up here, I was going to say something about this fearlessness. I'm going to forget all the things I need to say. How many of you know the phrase, silence is golden? Okay? When I'm relating it with fearlessness, what's the next phrase? Anyone know?
Sometimes it's just plain yellow.
That's right. Sometimes it's just plain yellow. Isn't it easier to just hunch down in a board meeting, let's get through this, home, all that good stuff, you know, the coffee's waiting or whatever's waiting, you've been through this thing long enough, and you just don't say something that really should be said. Any of you ever tempted to do that, teachers?
Mm-hmm.
Because why rock the boat, huh? Yeah. It's very important that you are, first of all, a teacher, all right? It's more important at that time than it is for you to get home. A teacher, it's very important that his school is just like any other thing of business, any place of business or institution, that it is top priority outside of his home. But it's very important. You know, people on construction sites, they have to go out and fix things in the middle of the night too sometimes. That is simply the nature of the job. It's very, very important you take your job seriously. And I'll say this about your little personal comfort zone. All of you have a comfort zone. How much out of their comfort zone do you think the pioneers were heading across Death Valley? I drove across the desert the other day in a nice, fast, air-conditioned pickup. And it was bad enough. It was hot. It was 111 degrees. It was unbelievably hot. How did the pioneers do some of this stuff? It's really quite amazing. Well, I'll say one reason. I do not relate with this kind of drive, all right? I just don't have it in me to be a pioneer and go across these places where I might die. Or Pearl might die, or my kids might die. That's not, nope, period, no, over. But the thing is, these guys saw something a lot bigger than their comfort zone. Okay? It was simply, some of them, we've got to do it. Okay? There is an opportunity, and that's what they saw. So get out of your comfort zone. Stay at the board meeting a little longer if you have to, or a lot longer. And enter those meetings and get your hands messy sometimes. I'm going to say something else about the way you phrase your words while you're talking and communicating. Phrase your words carefully. Think about the things you're saying. I've heard this example. I think it's a good one on how to use your words. Let's imagine that there's a child on a street, okay, riding his bike back and forth, and there's a tree on the street. And you see the tree, you see the child. Very likely the child is going to what? Come on, kids. I mean, it's a tree. So what do you say?
Don't hit the tree.
That's right. See, Aaron, he's a born negative. That's what we want to say is don't hit the tree. What should you say, maybe? Okay, this is a great question. I'm so glad. I'm so smart. I get to tell you this new concept. You say, go around the tree. often people hear just little words like, hit the tree. If you say, go around the tree, it goes from don't to do. All right, so change the don'ts to do. Do this, do that. Even in when you're relating with your students. Change the don'ts to do, all right? Work hard instead of passing notes, you know, whatever you say. So we got this board, teacher, and parents, and we'll put this up here as well, another balancing factor who we sometimes don't always get along with. And we're going to put them in a little box here, and I'm going to write some other names up here, and I'm going to see if you think this matches what I'm writing, all right? Now, I'm going to some very devious names, ones that I'm sure no one will recognize. And here's one. Anyone see that name? K.C. Royal, some kind of Coca-Cola, I imagine, right? How about another one, Chicago Bulls. A cabin's ranch, I'm sure, of some sort. And how about this? Whew, this one isn't right, I know that. Alright, Kansas City Royals, Chicago Bulls, Pittsburgh Penguins. What do these things have in common? Two legs?
They're teams. They're
teams, aren't they? That's not hard to believe. Is this hard to believe as a team? It can be. these guys, I figured I'd pick ones that we know are top players. So I went for Missouri first and put it on the top. I love Missouri teams. I'm just curious about something. When you think of team, what happens, where are the games won? Well, we know they're won on the arena, right? Team shows up, plays ball, they won. Where is the game won? Excuse me? Okay, in the planning, in the locker room, all right? Back before the game starts. All right. Now, I'm curious. Do you think in those planning meetings, men's meetings, we could call them, that everything is just nice and we're all affirmation. You know what? Let's just imagine. See, I know some of these guys, like Michael Jordan, he was a good guy. Chicago Bulls, way before you guys' time, but, you know, we like him. All right, he's a good guy. Do you assume that he would be in that locker room saying, you know, all of you guys, just move in here, you're so good. It's just a pleasure to play with you. What do you think is happening in those locker rooms? Do you think it's all just friendly stuff? No, this is the word for it. It's intense. Intense. That means that there are some things being said that you had better listen to. All right? So as a teacher, you listen to your board. And your board, you have got to listen to the teachers. All right? It's not about one against the other. It's together. All right? It's very important that we get the competition, me versus them, away. It's not about competition. It's team, and it's all for one goal. If I were to put this name up here, Halsey Christian School, would we think team? Just like we put it right up here. Or my school, Sterling Mennonite School, or any other name up there. What do people think of when they see your church name? Is that a team, or is it... Does it just maybe ring a little different than that? Actively work at eliminating the fear between you and the board. All right? So how would you actively work at eliminating fear? Dan gave something kind of interesting. He talked about a teacher going to these different places and sitting and being interested in the house, right? Usually we have fear of the unknown. And almost always, the more you know, the less you fear. Right? Learn to know your board members as much as you can. Do things with them. Even you girls. I never thought of that actually. What you would do with the board. I guess you guys just are out of luck. You have to be afraid of your board. I'm positive if I think long enough and you think long enough, you can work at ways to eliminate fear of your board. Talk to them. Really relate with them. Okay. Something that happens sometimes is we get a guilt complex. Board shows up. I'm a little bit guilty because we know we've let some stuff slip. Any of you ever feel this? Yeah, we do. We're all there. This produces a number of problems. One is insecurity, which, of course, is natural. We are threatened almost instantly. We're defensive. And immediately, as soon as you have those kind of emotions, there are some things that happen. All right? But I mentioned earlier about the pioneers having this seeing beyond their personal comfort zone. All right? So when I'm up here teaching you, it's very important that I realize that my teaching is not about me. Okay, it's not about me looking good or not looking good or, you know, not being foolish. It's about you learning. All right? It's about your students learning. So if someone comes in and you realize all of a sudden that you're not quite cutting the mustard there, remember, it's actually a wake-up call for you. Get away from, if you're feeling threatened, if you're feeling insecure and defensive, beef up your competence game, right? Keep working on improving yourself. And there's probably only with time does competence really set in. I hate to say that. But more and more, I mean, most people cannot just enter the classroom the first day and they're a great teacher. I hate to tell you that if you're a first-time teacher, but it takes a lot of time to be as good of a teacher as me. So you gotta really keep up your game there. Board members, I'm getting maybe just a little bit ahead of myself here. Let me make sure I'm not. Actually, I was going to write this thing up here. Get rid of these guys before people come in and think that we're just teaching about teams. All right. Any of you have a weakness? Yeah, you do. All right. Write that up here. This is something all teachers have. Weaknesses. If you were to name a weakness, what would you do about it? I've just been talking about beefing up your competence. What would you do about that? Let's say you have a problem with, I don't want to pick on any of my problems, so how about English? Any of you have a problem with English? Like writing, for example. Writing a nice story or anything like that. What might you do?
Denial.
Okay, there you go. Denial is not a river in France. It was funny! It was brilliant! Oh. What do you do? Okay, how about writing? Okay, overcoming your weakness. Okay, work at it a step at a time. And it takes a lot of time to overcome your weaknesses. I know someone, I had not taught for a long time, and I started teaching, and you know, I was just plain overwhelmed with all the things I didn't know. Still I am, actually, believe it or not. And someone said, don't try to master all the subjects. Boy, that was ornery. Master one. Okay? At the time, I just didn't think that was at all something I could handle. I didn't, you know, just master all of them, which I wouldn't master any of them, so that would be kind of a problem. Master one, the next year you add on to that. Those are like just little building blocks. Keep, and so if you have, you know, 7 or 8 subjects, you have to teach at least 7 or 8 years to be any good. So hang in there. Keep at it. How about strengths? Do you have any strengths? One thing that you as teachers should be able to do is to say yes or no on whether you have a strength or not. Okay? You should be able to say, yeah, I'm pretty good at that. And it's not a brag. It's just a fact. I'm good at facts, so I. Here's something that if you have strengths. Now, with weaknesses, we try to stay away from them as teachers. All right, we don't want the board to see them, do we? If the board's coming to visit school, we switch our schedule around so that we're teaching music first, or you know, science will definitely be way down, and hopefully by then they'll be so worn out they have to go home at lunch. Oh man, the normal day can resume. Kids are back in the aisles where they belong. And, you know, that's a bad deal if you're trying to hide stuff from your board, right? The board should be able to show up, and you know, you trust them to see that there's mistakes happening in their schoolroom. That happens. You show up on their job site, I promise you, not everything is always perfect either. It's important to remember that this is a job for you, and there are going to be mistakes. I'm going to say this as well about you teaching 7 or 8 years. Think of it like this. A lot of students have invested a lot of mistakes that you made on them for you to keep teaching. That's something I have to tell myself over and over. So your strengths. It's easy to obsess about your weaknesses or your strengths. We just stick with our strengths. We ignore the weaknesses, as Brother Aaron said. But they are a strength. Right. If you have a strength, use it. All right. It does not hurt to see your students to see you really fired up about something. All right. They need to see that. They need to know that what you are teaching them is very, very important. So, figure out where music is used, if music is your strong point, and find out what they like about music. Talk about it as much as you can if they will let you. Use it forcefully. All right. Let's say this as well, teachers. Sometimes we talk to the board and we have an idea. All right? Put this up here as well. The Lord actually allows you to do this idea, and it doesn't work. Then what do? You keep using it, right? Using it because it was your idea. And that's not steadfastness, that's stubbornness. And stubbornness is ridiculous, all right? Don't be stubborn. Be thoughtful. You want your board to be willing to change if they need to. Your board needs to be open to realizing that, you know what, we don't have a perfect system. You never will have a perfect system. In fact, forget about system in some ways. Just look at every situation as it happens. Think about that. There is not always a pat answer for everything. And all of you, board members and teachers, accept it if you're wrong. I really would like it if we could all get that one down pat. Don't hold it against each other. Okay, we'll talk to the board just a little bit, and the teachers will enjoy it. Here's something that if you're ever in charge, and teachers, believe me, when I'm talking to the board here, remember that in your students' minds, you are the board, right? So you really keep this in mind. When I'm talking to the board, I'm actually hiding it, and you're supposed to learn something too. Okay? Now, how many of you have ever intimidated a child on purpose? What about intimidation up there?
Intimidation.
About as bad as that other word. I want you to relate this next story I'm going to tell you as a board and teachers, all right? When a teacher meets with several board members, it's a little intimidating, not because the board member wants to be intimidating, it's just because it often is that way. You're going to have to explain to several people, and it seems, whether you intend it this way or not, to be four against one, doesn't it? Yeah? Yes or no? Anyone know what I'm saying? Okay, I feel that way sometimes, okay? Obviously, I'm being called to account to explain what's going on. All right. Years ago, I got involved in this. I was a garage door man, but 2008 and 10 came along, and there were some hard times, and we did a bunch of other stuff too, including building some ceilings for an underground data storage. Right? Anyone ever hear of digital data storage? I never had a clue about this stuff before, but it's a huge industry. And this was in something called the Mountain. It's a huge... Anyone ever hear of Branson, Missouri? Okay? Well, in Branson, Missouri, there is this huge mountain. Not out by these standards, but anyway, there's doors going into this mountain, and in this mountain they have a very secure storage where they store actually artifacts from the Titanic. So it just shows you how important I was. I got to go in there close to the Titanic, all this good stuff. And we built these ceilings for this underground data storage, kind of by the seat of our pants. I'm going to just go ahead and admit that. These were block buildings, and we were not architects. Someone that we did doors for worked there. And great connection. Made a lot of money. See how rich I am. I had to go teach school afterwards. So, unknown to me, this went to the next level, kind of like a deep level, big level. This went to some very, very powerful people where they were going to expand this whole thing to a digital underground storage. And they just told me they needed me to come by and bid again or something like that. What it was anymore. And this man named JR, he led me in through the metal detector and got my license and all that stuff, and we were down the hall having this happy time, and the door opened to a room about this size, and there was this huge long table full of very, very powerful old sober-faced men in suit and ties with briefcases and laptops just waiting for me. I cannot describe the intimidation that happened right there. My trendy work clothes turned to filthy rags and the saliva to dust in my mouth. Right there. I just couldn't believe it. And they just all looked at me and kind of began to explain to this breathless wonder who had showed up
what they were needing to have. They just rattled these numbers off. And I remember just this noise going off in my head. I couldn't hear a thing. It was just like total panic. And do you think these men were going to hurt me? Were they going to physically tie me down on the table and pull my toenails out one by one until I gave up the answers or anything? No, they weren't going to hurt me. But I was, I don't know how else to say it, but I was completely freaked out. I was expecting one or two guys, not in suits and ties, more like t-shirts, you know, that we would walk around and talk and joke, and then I would take the facts down frantically on my notepad and call them later. No, this was a big deal, and I was completely unprepared. So just kind of trying to think on my feet, which was just doing good to stand on my feet. And this guy named Gale Henshaw, he said, you know, if I was Brian, I'd be feeling pretty overwhelmed about now. What if I'd take him around and show him the site, and, you know, bang, I was out the door. I was just gone. I needed air, space. Never returned. So this man was a regular lifesaver to me. He took me out, we looked around, and man, I just felt my heart rate just settling down. It was just like an arm around my shoulders. And we actually got the job, believe it or not, as the ghost left the room, never to return. It was a great job, actually. It was wonderful. But I've never forgotten that one man that looked up there and he knew I was dead. There was no doubt about it. I was dead. What's going on with this time anyway? I've got lots left to say. You as a board member need to realize that sometimes people feel intimidated. You need to look at these people. These are people. You put your arm around them, literally or figuratively, whatever it may take, but you relax them. You realize that we're on the same team. So don't intimidate. And teachers, you be careful about intimidating. I heard a statement yesterday, and I'm not going to deny it, that maybe we dress above our students because it gives us a psychological advantage. Well, I believe in dressing up. This is pretty much the way I dress for school. But it's not really to put me above my students as much as I respect the office of teaching. And I don't want distance between me and my students. I don't want it to be hard for them to come to me. Now, it is difficult for my students where I live to come talk to me. There's no doubt about it. It's slowly getting better. But there is a huge wall that has been built between the teacher and the students. I'm tearing the wall down. I don't want to put blocks in the way. Teaching is about relationships, whether it's with your board or your students. But it's about removing obstacles. It's about clearing the way, making it easy for students, not scaring them, relaxing them. It's not about driving students to excellence. It's about inviting them. You think about that. There's a big difference between whipping someone into shape and holding them until they become the right shape. I'm just encouraging you to think about that. So, board members, I'll tell you this. This is something teachers need. Teachers need Teachers need a board that, number one, trusts him. Say this. Teachers, you be careful about roasting the board during class time or whatever. And I would not like it if I thought the board was behind my back roasting me. Alright? So teachers, respect is always a two-way street. Never expect respect if you don't give lots of it. By the way, board members, I just encourage you, commend you, whatever you want to say, to address your teachers by their title. I think it's a deep mark of respect, or even lack of it, if you just Never refer to the teacher as Mr. Overholt or Mr. Yoder or Mr. whatever you know it might be. It's a little bit of a block that you need to overcome, but we expect our students to. We demand it from our students. And it might be something for you to think about. So trust him. Listens to him. Actually listens. I'm going to give you a story about my old school. I guess I won't. And this one as well. Defends him. Because no matter what, no matter how good your relationship is with your parents, all that good stuff, there's going to be someone, somewhere, sometime, that has this little hatchet with all these little chops in it. Then he wants to cut you down with his own little hatchet, like George Washington the cherry tree, all right? That's where you guys need to have a man that will not be afraid to say, you know what, you need to be quiet about this, or whatever, it's not going to work. Be quiet. Stop. All right, we're going to stop with that. Didn't really cover a lot. It's too bad. Great subject, and it should actually take, it could take a long time, but your board, teachers, your board is very, very important. It's not something that, no matter how scared you are of it, that you want to go without. Someone mentioned it as an umbrella. Someone else used it as a buffer. Said use it as a buffer. Parents, you have a big problem. They should talk to the board about it to a certain degree. I don't know why sometimes teachers, now say it this way. Teachers, board members, parents all need to have a pretty thick skin for a good relationship. Soft skins, they're going to get ripped. And just like I said yesterday, teachers are sometimes a punching bag. That's something you might as well get used to because it happens. Parents are upset. Children are upset. It's your job. It's part of your job, just like teaching math. All right? Thank you very much for listening. Enjoy the rest of your day. You're dismissed.
Thank you.
You're welcome.